like to welcome to the Jewish Experience microphones this afternoon Dr. Michael Shulman, who is the director of AskNoah.org, a website dedicated to the study of and the promulgation of the Seven Commandments of Noah. Dr. Shulman, welcome to the program.
Thank you. It's a pleasure.
And first of all, before we even get into it, and some people have probably heard about this and some have not heard about this, but these concepts of the Seven Commandments of Noah, the average Gentile on the street, the average Jew may or may not know, what does that mean? Where does it come from? How do these seven get codified? Where does it come from the Torah? How did it all get started?
The Torah makes very specific mention of the fact that when Noah was saved from the flood and he emerged from the ark to repopulate the world, that God made a covenant with him and also gave him commandments. And the Torah discusses these, especially in the Talmud. There's a whole section in the Gemara of Sanhedrin that says what were the commandments that Noah was given and what were their details. So if it was not for the fact that Moses wrote this into the Torah and gave over these details to the sages, the world would not know that such a thing had been commanded. Mm-hmm. The fact that it was given over to the Jews and is found in our Torah, the Torah has been translated into many languages, and so now almost everyone in the world knows about the story of Noah and the obligations that he received when he came out from the ark. But in essence, as the light to the nations and the Torah being given to the Jewish people, it was specifically our obligation to make this known that for those Gentiles who want to live righteously according to God's will, this is the path to follow.
Okay, so we're going to talk about the Seven Commandments in just a minute, but the reason we've asked you on today is because there is a brand new, so to speak, revelation or compilation of a code of law specifically relating to Gentiles and discussing in depth the application of and observance of these Seven Commandments. So before we go any further, what are the Seven Commandments of Noah?
Well, let's go down the list. This would not be in any particular order, but there are commandments that are between the man and his fellow and commandments that are between man and God. And these are universal. So we have do not murder, do not commit forbidden sexual relations, do not commit theft, to not commit blasphemy or idol worship, respecting the animals, not being cruel to them in the process of the slaughter, and to establish courts of justice that will enforce these laws.
Okay. And so with these laws, and you, when you talk to people about the Seven Commandments, they'll come back and say, no, wait a minute, we have the Ten Commandments. So they're saying, how come, you know, you're telling me we have seven? We have the Ten Commandments.
When you say we have, that could be a non-Jewish person who...
Yes, a non-Jewish person tells someone, as we discuss with them, no, we have Ten Commandments. How do you answer that?
Well, this is a very common misconception. In fact, the Torah contains 620 commandments in total. There's 613 commandments that were given to the Jews, and there were seven commandments for the rest of humanity, the Jews. In Hebrew, do not call them the Ten Commandments because that would somehow set them apart from the total of 613. So they're called the Ten Utterances because those are the ten of the Jewish commandments which God himself spoke at mm-hmm. Mount Sinai.
Okay.
So when you look actually into the details, what are called the Ten Commandments are actually Jewish mitzvot that have their own particular details relevant to Jews, and those are different from the commandments and the details that are obligations for the non-Jews, even though in name only they might sound similar.
Okay. So with these seven commandments, and being that they're pretty straightforward, it seems like, why is there a need and why was there a need to come up with this code, or Shulchan Aruch, as we say in Hebrew, this code of law for Gentiles?
You asked a couple of points there. First of all, over the past several decades, about the 30 years or so, there has been a growing Noahide movement in the world, which was prompted by a call from the Lubavitcher Rebbe that with the freedom that has been coming into the world, freedom of speech, tolerance of different religions, and so on, the Jews are no longer in any danger from speaking openly to the rest of the world about what we have to share with them. And as such, it now becomes our obligation to let them know that this is how they would follow God's will by following these seven commandments. once that's said, the question becomes, how do you follow those seven commandments? And different groups began to get interested in this and presented them on a very shallow, superficial level. And for those Gentiles who really wanted to do the right thing, they started looking at it and they said, there's not enough information here for us to really know how to lead our lives. And that's why there was a need that just like a Jew, when he wants to know what to do on a daily basis, he gets up on a work day and he goes to work, he comes home to his family, he opens up the Shulchan Aruch, or the Code of Jewish Law, to know what should he do. No such a thing existed for the Gentiles of the world, and actually because the Rebbe himself said that this was needed for them, our organization, Ethno International, took upon ourselves that this would be one of the cornerstones of our own approach to helping people observe the seven commandments.
Okay, but you have mentioned that this original code of law is in Hebrew. So how is the average Gentile going to be able to access this and be able to use it?
Well, what we found out was that the different discussions among the Talmudic sages and the sages which follow them are in Hebrew and Aramaic and scattered around in different places all through the Talmud and other later works, for example, the Mishnah Torah. So in order to collect those and to present the different halakhic debates and come to the conclusions, it has to be in the language of the halakha, which is Hebrew. And once we have that basis, and the rabbis, who are really the ones who can interpret different situations and tell how the halakha applies, first the rabbis need to become experts in those and to know how to answer and apply them to practical situations. And coming from this foundation, now we have open to bringing it out in all languages, and there definitely will be translations following. So that's why it's really an exciting time now with whole new developments coming in.
Okay, now you talk about a network of rabbis around the world that are doing this, and I guess you're recruiting more that are going to be able to take it back to their communities and talk about it. Is this code, or has it been, or do you think it will be widely accepted, something that people will grasp and take with them, or do you see it as an isolated thing?
I think it will be very widely accepted because, first of all, from the approbations that we receive from outstanding rabbis around the world, we have approbations from rabbis on the based in the rabbinical court of the country of Israel, of the city of Jerusalem, and leading rabbis in the United States from different rabbinical organizations. So that establishes it as being universal in terms of it's not limited to Ashkenazic or Sephardic or a Litvish or Hasidic type of approach. It's really a universal aspect of Torah that all observant and believing Jews and Gentiles can be assured that we are bringing the most authentic and reliable source here.
And speaking of Noachides, you actually have mentioned that there are ways that a Noachide can be machmir, can be very strict, and can actually be a Noachide chassid. Explain what that means.
Rambam Maimonides, in his Mishnah Torah, talks about different levels of observance that a Gentile might come to. And the highest level of observance is what we call the chassidei umos ha'olam, the pious of the nations who accept on themselves these commandments because they were given through the prophet Moses, which therefore makes it an eternal part of Torah. And that step being taken, then there are really no limits to how far the person can progress. Just for example, in the dietary laws, for Gentiles, they relate to making sure that the meat that is eaten was not removed from the animal before it actually died. There are further aspects of that of respecting the animals, not being cruel to them in the process of the slaughter. And, for example, commandment not to murder, there are further aspects of that of not causing harm and even not speaking Lashon Hara. Because Lashon Hara is a type of murder where you're harming the person spiritually or in the eyes of others, even though it's not a physical harm. So the Gentile can be very careful about not speaking gossip or harmful things about others, and that is going to a more refined level.
So has there been an opinion that says that for Gentiles, Lashon Hara is as serious as it is for Jews, just conceptually?
It's a matter that there's no permission to harm others within the Torah. So those things which are harmful to others do become forbidden, even though they might not carry actual penalties which a court could inflict, but still they are displeasing in the eyes of God, and they actually are sins that a Gentile would need to do teshuva for, to do repentance for.
All right. Now, before we actually run out of time, one other area I want to speak about quickly, and then I want you to let us know how to get more information if people want to get a hold of this code, if they could, if they know Hebrew, obviously, and I guess at some point there'll be an English edition out. You talk about the concept of Noahide laws, but also there's an obligation that Jews have, I guess, to inform Gentiles about these commandments, and you talk about when Jews were in control of Israel in the past. I thought Jews were in control of Israel today.
They're in control, but we have now is a secular government in Israel. So they don't concern themselves that much with what the halakha is, but there are many observant Jews, many Orthodox rabbis who do live in Israel, who do try to, as much as possible, conduct themselves properly. Now, according to the Torah, the land of Israel does belong to the Jews. It was given as an eternal gift from God. And therefore, a non-Jew who wants to settle there and live permanently within the land of Israel would need permission from the Jews to live there. In order to have that right and that privilege, they need to accept that they are going to follow the seven Noahide laws.
Mm-hmm.
And if they do not, the Torah does not give them permission, doesn't give them a visa, so to speak, to be residents of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
So if that would be properly followed, we wouldn't have so many problems, because the Gentiles who would be living in Israel would be those who did accept the Torah, they would recognize the special relationship of the
sure.
Jews with God, and that they're guests in a land which really is not theirs.
Right. Okay, very good. Well, it's fascinating stuff, and I'm sure we'll hear more about it as it comes out, and we'll try to keep people up to date on it. We've got about 10 seconds left. You want to tell us how to get in touch with you and your organization?
To get in touch with Ask Noah International and myself personally, go on the website asknoah.org or asknoah.com. Send an email to 7laws, S-E-V-E-N-L-A-W-S, at asknoah.org. You can request information about the book or to order. You can also go online. And the name of the book, by the way, is Sefer Sheva Mitzvot Hashem.
Very good. Dr. Michael Shulman of Ask Noah International, United Noahide Academies, thank you for being with us this afternoon on The Jewish Experience.
Thank you.
People and nations are striving to create a world of goodness and kindness. A blueprint exists for a better world. Thousands of years ago, the human race was given a plan for a quality life. There are seven universal laws to follow, known as the laws of Noah. These universal truths include: believe in God, honor God, do not murder, do not commit adultery or incest, do not steal, avoid cruelty to animals, establish courts of justice,